How many of you are glad we're talking about being greater? Some of you secretly are. I know that because I've heard some of you tell me about it. Secret's out that it was my wife who said, "I'm glad you're finally done with that." Actually, that's not what she said. Something like, "I'm so sick and tired of..." Anyway, you want more details, you have to ask her. Kind of like the bait on the hook. But really, in truth, when we talk about that God wants more, He has more in store for us, and He wants more of us, and the things that He has, they're good and they're great. And quite frankly, we talk about that, and we sit back and we go, "I hear all that, but I'm not experiencing all that." And it can be very, very frustrating. Can it not? Can I, like the old preacher said, can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? As I was preparing for tonight, it's kind of a strange journey. One of these days, I may clue some of you in on how I get to where I find myself in the text. And tonight, we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Peter. And somehow I end up in Daniel. And it's a weird jump, I know. It just happens that sometimes I get in looking at cross-references and stories that kind of coincide and whatnot. I end up in a completely different place. And usually I will pick one or the other and kind of dwell on that, but I need you to understand that I'm talking about Peter, a New Testament guy, and how he's talking about some of the Old Testament guys and how they have the same kind of struggles eons apart. 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to read to you verses 10 through 12. And Peter writes here, he says, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when he was predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you and by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things." I love where Peter's at, and he's talking about the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And he's saying, you know, these guys, these prophets from long ago, they received the prophecies and they were excited about it. But they didn't understand it all. They didn't know when. They didn't know how. You know, all of them didn't know how. They didn't know under what circumstances, what would really be the role of the Messiah. And they didn't know. All they knew was, "I got a word of God and I've got to put it down because people down the road are going to need this." Right here. The prophets were looking into a future that they would never see, at least here on this earth. They were speaking about the coming of Christ, and they were, most of those guys were dead and gone from this earth by the time that fulfillment that came about. They did understand that, according to Peter, that the information that they were putting down was not necessarily for them, but it was for the future generations. It was for those that were alive when Christ actually was on the earth. It was not just for them, but it was for you and for me. So that we could look back and say, okay, even this guy who's writing this stuff down, stuff that has not even happened yet. He's writing this stuff down, telling me how these things are going to come about and kind of what the greater implications of those things are. And they didn't really even get it then. But why did they write it down? If they could not understand it, why bother to record it? It was from God, and it was for people down the road. It's for you and for me. If you're going to do that, if a word came to you, if somebody said, look, here's the deal. I'm gonna give you, what? If somebody just came to you and said, look, somebody down the road is going to need this, and I have the key to unlocking the cure to cancer. Write this down. You got a decision to make. Do you say, whatever, you know, thousands of people have claimed that, or whatever. But if you have enough trust in the source, if this is a world-renowned doctor who just happens to be part of your family, and he says, man, I've got to tell this to somebody, and I think I've got to leave the country tomorrow, and I may not be back. Can I entrust you with this information? If it's trustworthy and you know it, and you know it's really important information, you're probably going to say, speak slowly, because I want to get it word for word, what you're saying. Would you not? I mean, okay. Because you put your trust in the source. That's what these Old Testament prophets that Peter's talking about, these prophets, they trusted in the source, even though they didn't understand. How many of you could understand when they start, if the doctor started talking about all the chemicals, formulations and compounds and whatnot that's going to have to be in the processes that's going to need to be done to make this cure happen? How many of you have been to med school enough to understand all that terminology and whatnot? Okay, me either. So if you had enough trust in the source, though, and you record it down, because someday, somewhere, somebody's going to pick that up and go, holy cow, this is the answer. That's what these Old Testament prophets were doing. They didn't understand it all, but they knew that at some point it's going to become a big deal and somebody's going to need this information. Let's go back. Let's look at Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter in Daniel. You thought I was talking about you, didn't you, Daniel? Everybody turn around and look at Daniel. Now you've seen Daniel. How are those lions, brother? Daniel chapter 12, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9. And this is Daniel, okay? Daniel is one of the Daniel in Revelation is one of the greatest end-time prophecy type of books. And so Daniel, in chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Daniel himself writes this, I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, Lord, what will be the outcome of this? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are rolled up and sealed until the time of the end. And he goes on and gives him a little bit of things. He said, many, I didn't give them this verse. He says, many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Anyway, he basically says, okay, now this is at the end of Daniel. And the Lord has shown Daniel some amazing stuff. Read the book of Daniel sometime if you haven't read it. It's amazing, okay? It's got some deep and some wild kind of stuff in there. And at the end of this, Daniel's been under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He's been writing. He's like, man, I got to, what was that? I can't stop writing. I got to, what is that? Oh, I can't stop. I just got to keep going. And then at the end, he says, man, I got it all down, but I don't understand it all. I don't understand it. The writers of Scripture, even though inspired by the Holy Spirit, sometimes did not comprehend at that time what they were writing. Daniel was relying on the word of God, but was, or excuse me, he was relaying the word of God, but he was unable to grasp that message at its time. He didn't understand it. How many of you could say, the Lord has told me something. The Lord has shown me something. And I believe it, but I'm struggling to understand it. Can anybody in the room identify with that? Okay. Does that mean the information is bad information? Does that mean the information is useless information? No. Does that mean that I should just give up on it and go, well, that's just beyond my comprehension. Why should I even? It's good information. It's good stuff. I know that. I trust it. But it's beyond my comprehension, so I'm not even going to waste my time trying to understand it. Should we do that? I want to read to you a story that I found. It's written by Charles H. Spurgeon. And he says, he talks about another great theologian named George Muller. And he says, I once heard Mr. George Muller say that he liked to read his Bible through again and again. And he liked especially to read those portions of the Bible which he did not understand. And when I think about one of the great theologians reading the Bible and saying, I got to read it again and again because I just don't understand it, gives me hope. He says, that seems rather a singular thing to say, does it not? For what profit can come to us if we do not understand what we read? Charles then followed. He said, the good man put it to me like this. He said, there is this little boy who is with his father, and there's a good deal of what that father says that he comprehends. And he takes it in and is very pleased to hear his father talk. But sometimes his father speaks of things that are quite beyond him. Yet the boy likes to listen. He learns a little here and there and by. And when he has listened year after year, he begins to understand what his father says as he never would have done if he had run away whenever his father began to talk beyond his comprehension. So it is with the prophecies and other deep parts of God's Word. If you read them once or twice but do not comprehend them, still study them. Give your heart to them, for by and by, the precious truth will permeate your spirit and you will insensibly drink wisdom which otherwise you would have not received. What Charles is putting in a very illustrative fashion for us is, just because you don't understand it now doesn't mean you never will. I remember my dad, spending time with my dad, and there would be things he would be talking about. You know, we'd be out there working on a car. My dad worked all his life. He'd work at Firestone, then he'd come home and have to work on our cars because we never had really nice new cars, and there was no need to because we had a whole car parts section out behind the house. We had 20, or at the end, there were like 40 vehicles lined up out there, old cars that we used up and just park out there. And once Dad's friends found out that they wore out a car, they could just park it out there at the house, and knowing that parts are available to anybody that needed them. And so a water pump would go out, and Dad would say, well, that 68 Mercury's got a water pump that would work on this Ford here. Let's go out and get that. And we'd go out there, and that was a great, it was better than Napa. All you had to do was, it was like pick apart. You just took your tools out there, but you didn't even have to pay for it at the end. It was awesome. And so we'd be under there, and Dad would be working on Dad would say, son, hand me that half-inch box-end wrench. And I'd go, I'd hand him a crescent wrench. He says, is that it, Daddy? No. It says half on the side, and it's got closed. It's closed up. And I go, oh, okay. Well, by and by, the more time I spent with my dad, the more I understood parts and tools and you know, and he could be under there, Daddy, what are you doing? Well, I'm upgrading and replacing the Knutter valve that goes to the flux capacitor on this car. And I'd go, what? Those aren't real parts, by the way, in case you are not a Back to the Future fan, but that's what it sounded like to me. Okay, but then as I experienced more and more and more, I began to understand more and more and more. And had I never done those things, I may not be able to spend a half a day and parked in front of O'Reilly Auto Parts in Dallas and end up with an alternator that actually works. Happened to put two together to make one that works. And it was a, you know, but the more you, if you just ignore or run away from the things that you don't understand or cast them off saying, that's just going to be beyond my comprehension, you're going to be missing out. You're going to be missing out. I don't know of very many times in my life when I've distinctly heard the word of the Lord that I took it and went, oh, it's like light and day. I heard you, and I get it, and I understand it, and I'm ready to move on. I have thought that I did. Come to find out I was gravely wrong, and I think God was just going, oh, you've got so much to learn. But at least you're willing to learn. But at least you're willing to learn. I think a lot of times when we receive a word from the Lord, it's something that concerns us or something else or something that, you know, we get it and we go, huh? I don't get it, God. I don't understand it. I think that's more often how God works. What He's wanting for us is to be trusting enough to say, I don't understand it, but I believe it. Believe it because I trust the source. And so I'll stand on it. I'll stand on it. And it's trustworthy. I think one of the greatest leaps that we make, and it, you know what that's called? Who knows what that's called? It's called faith. It's called faith. One of the greatest leaps that we make as children of God is when we understand that we don't have to understand to be obedient. Does that make sense? I'm going to say it again real slow. One of the greatest leaps we make is when we understand that we don't have to understand everything to still be obedient, to still trust and obey. Let's see what I wrote down here at the end. What are you hearing but are not able to understand? Like in this story of Spurgeon's, don't stop. Don't stop trying to understand. That he was telling the story about this great theologian, George Muller, who kept going back and reading and reading and rereading and rereading, especially the parts that he didn't of the Bible that he did not understand. I don't know if you know much about the history of theologians, but George Muller is one of the great theologians. He didn't get it all, at least not in one sitting, and not at one time. It was a gradual process, but through obedience and steady determination, he got more and more each time that he read. Don't give up as if you'll never understand it. Stay with it, and the more you experience Him, the more you'll understand. Trust that His Word is true. Trust that He has great things in store for you, even if you don't understand them right now. So we may come to the point where we say, all right, I heard the messages. Four of them talking about greater things. And I hear it, and I get that. I just don't know what that means for me. I just don't know. I don't understand what that means for me. You're at a decision point. And you have to decide, do I still trust that God wants greater things for me because the Bible talks about it? Or do I say, I've got to see it to believe it? And if you say, I've got to see it to believe it, then where is the faith in that? Faith is what? The substance of things hoped for, the things unseen, right? If we have proof of everything, there's no need for faith. But Jesus said, you know, God didn't say you come to me through Jesus Christ because of the proof. He said you come through faith. Through faith. So here we are. We talked for like I said, 4 weeks now about how God has things that He's been planning for you. He has things. Today we talk about that God wants to use the things that are already in you, that He's placed in you a long time ago, that just need to be activated. Things that need to come alive within you, things you already have now that can be used for greater purpose. And you're sitting there going, I don't know what that might be. I want to encourage you tonight. Don't just say, well, I don't know what it is, so why even bother? Get on your knees and start asking. Lord, show me what that is. Show me what thing that I've cast off as insignificant that you want to take and really be a blessing to somebody. What are those things that we've have become disposable in our lives, or something that we put in a drawer and thought, well, that's just too much. Not for me. That's just not who I am. That's just not something I could ever envision myself doing or being. We kind of like put it in the glove box, you know, in the car. How many of you have kids? Okay. You know, in the back seat. Well, in the back of the front seat is sometimes there's a pocket. How many of you would be willing to go right outside right now, close your eyes, and jam your hand down in that pocket? No. It's kind of like where things that you don't want or need, they just end up in there, right? Yeah. Sometimes we have the little box that we think, well, you know, that's just not useful. It's probably not quite trash, but I don't know what else to do with it. I'll just stick it in there and I don't know. And I think that there are some possibly resources. I think there are callings. I think there are some things that God has given us and planted within us that we've just kind of discounted, put in that pocket behind the front seat of the car and have forgotten about. And I think if we'll get on our knees and say, Lord, show me those things. Show me those things that I've thrown away. Show me those things that I've discounted, those things that I've assumed was not for me, and they're still there somewhere, and I could probably find it if I have to. But show me those things. And here's the deal. Don't ask this. Lord, show me what those things are and show me how they could be profitable, and then I'll dig it out. Have faith and say, Lord, show me those things in my life that you want to use to be a blessing, that you want to use to make my impact greater. Show me what they are. And when the Lord shows you what they are, be faithful to go get it without even knowing how He wants to use it yet. You don't have to understand everything right now. I've heard people talk about, you know, that why does God give us just little snippets at a time? Because we can't comprehend. It would be like trying to download Microsoft Office. Where's Daniel? It'd be like trying to download Microsoft Office on a... Remember the old modems that used to on your computer, you'd hit connect and it'd go... and make all these weird noises. It would take you like days and days and days to download like a what we would consider now a 15-second download. We're just not capable of getting a full download like that, like sometimes we would want. I'm not sure if we got it, we would really even understand it then. We just can't process stuff. So it comes on gradually sometimes. Okay? Not always, but sometimes it does. And I think the tendency for us is to just say, it's taking too long. This is too much. I don't even know what I'm getting here. It's just a bunch of zeros and ones. It's in the data language still. It hasn't been deciphered. I can't understand it, so I'm just not even going to pay attention to it. Let me encourage you, don't do that. Don't do that. If you don't understand it, go back and look at it again. And then go back and look at it again. And I don't believe God wants to keep things a secret from you, especially if it involves how He wants to use you. He wants you to go. It's not like God's some big game show guy, God up in the sky, and He's going, wrong answer. How about you? Wrong answer. You want to try again? You know, like the family, you watch the Family Feud. Okay. Not like that. I don't think he wants to just make you make it a guessing game. I don't think he's some sick guy that gets off on us not knowing. He wants us to know. He wants to give us the information. He wants to give us the desires and the things to accomplish great and mighty things for His name. But I think we give up too easily sometimes. So that's about it for tonight. I just want to encourage you. Even though you may not understand right now, stay with it. Stay with it. I'm not a journaler. I tried one time. Matter of fact, it was a requirement for one of my seminary classes to journal. It was one of the hardest things that I've ever tried to do. I'm not a journaler. But yet, from time to time, there are some things that I'm thinking, oh, what was that thing that came to my mind? What was that I was thinking about? Sometimes it was like 5 minutes ago. Okay. So now there's some things that I wish that I had heard from God and didn't understand, and I've now forgotten about. And I regret that I didn't record it so that I could go back to it and look at it again and look at it again. My encouragement to you would be, if you hear a word from the Lord, or you feel that sometimes it's so, we say it's a word, we hear it, and sometimes it's not an audible thing that we hear, it's just something you feel. My encouragement would be, don't just cast it off. Somehow record it down, tell somebody, write it down, FaceTime it. I don't know what all you do with stuff like that. But don't lose it and go back to it. Because I almost guarantee you that if you go back and go back, you begin to understand more and more. Especially when you say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to trust you anyway. I'm just going to go ahead and start moving on that and trust that you're going to, as I step into the Jordan, you're going to part the water and on each step that I take. I don't need to see dry dirt and the shore on the other side to make it across the river. I just have to trust that you're going to do it one step at a time. How many of you really believe that God has greater things in store for you than what you're doing and experiencing and going through right now? How many of you understand all of what that means? No. A lot less hands. It doesn't mean it's still not there. It doesn't mean it's not still there for us. Stay with it. Stay with it. Daniel, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, confessed, I don't understand it, but I believe it. And he acted on it and wrote it down. Father, Lord, you are so good to us. And Lord, when I think about how frustrated I get sometimes when I have to repeat myself 2-3 times, when the person should just get it. Lord, I can't imagine you not getting frustrated with me when I say, hang on, what? But you don't. And you're so good and faithful to simply say, again, here it is again. Here it is again. Here it is again. It's because it's not a secret. You don't want it to be a secret, but you want me to understand it. You want me to work through it and understand it. Father, may you find me faithful to continue to ask. May you find me faithful to continue to spend time with you so that I do understand a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more, and even then a little more. Father, thank you that you are a patient God. And Lord, I thank you that you look down upon me and you say, that's something I can work with. Matter of fact, I can take that and I can do more than he could ever do on his own. if you'll just say yes to me. Thank you that you give us that great opportunity to partner with you and cooperate with you in the Holy, through the Holy Spirit to accomplish things that we could never accomplish. Not for our glory, but all for you. May you find us faithful in Jesus' name.